Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I am Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we've been reviewing the scrimmage from last Saturday with about 7,500 freshmen in attendance, and no one else got to see the game, but that's not going to stop us from talking about it. And we spent the first couple quarters talking about Kalen King and also ranting about there not being any television. And of course, quarter number two, we spent talking about the quarterback situation. Let's get to the rest of the team. I want to start on the offense in quarter number three. And if there's a polarizing figure on this team beyond Sean Clifford and the whole quarterback position, it's probably at running back and most likely Devin Ford. He came into Penn State a couple years ago with a lot of fanfare, hasn't lived up to that yet, and even through the spring season, we've seen the coaches come as close as they possibly can to being critical using those descriptions for Devin Ford. Nothing really changed here with this scrimmage, did it?
No, I mean, if consistency is the key for Devin Ford, then we saw more inconsistency when it comes to performance in this game. And when the coaches talk about the consistency thing, you know, obviously it goes beyond consistency in running the football in game situations. It's probably consistency in preparation and consistency in focus and, you know, making the right choice and taking what the defense gives you. It's I can see it kind of playing out in all these little individual areas when it comes to both preparation and performance for Devin Ford. And Saturday, I mean, it didn't change my mind at all. It still kind of shows you know, there's definitely a spark that he can provide in that running back room that I don't think any of the other running backs can provide that. You know, the upside, the way that he can run the ball, the particular type of talent that he has is unique to him and not to some of these other backs on the roster. So, you know, Penn State's best offense is going to include Devin Ford growing and being more consistent and taking a more consistent approach to practice and getting better in all these little ways that have been sort of problematic for him. But you know, without question, the Penn State's running back depth chart, there's a lot of options on there, but there aren't any quite like Devin Ford when he's at his best. The question is, how often are we going to see him at his best? And, you know, you saw that the return touchdown, which it looked like you could have run that back for a touchdown from the way that I saw the blocking take shape on that. Not to take anything away from Devin Ford, but then to fumble in a scrimmage, you know, it all goes to, you know, if you're not consistent, you are probably not consistently earning the coaching staff's trust. And anytime the ball hits the ground, you're losing just a little bit of trust from the coaches.
That may be the first time I've ever been compared to a big-time collegiate running back. So thank you for that, Dustin.
Won't be the last.
Maybe it will
be. You're more Tank Smith, though.
That we have a similar build. We do. Or, well, at least by height and weight. Maybe mine's proportioned just a little bit differently. But I'm 60 years old, so I'm allowed to let it be proportioned differently. Let's stick with the running back situation, though, Dustin, where this is not a case with Devin Ford like it is with Sean Clifford, where it's essentially, well, it's Sean Clifford or bust this year, so he's going to get every opportunity. The running back room is filled with talent and experience. So now you are the coach, head coach, running backs coach. How do you handle that with five talented players, all of them with some experience? No clear-cut number one, I don't think, because you have Noah Kane coming off of injury. How do you handle it?
I mean, if you look back a couple years, I think they did a really nice job, 2019, of making everything merit-based from week one all the way through the end of the year. You get what you earn in that situation. And I think as long as it's honest and transparent, and everybody feels like they have an opportunity to have some upward mobility on that depth chart, I think that strategy can work. You know, we saw that depth chart open the year one way, and we saw it end the year a totally different way. Journey Brown surged, and he got his opportunity, you know, when somebody else struggled, and he made the most of that opportunity, and he went into 2020 before he had to kind of unfortunately retire as a legitimate NFL prospect because he worked and he earned those opportunities. I don't see it really unfolding any differently. You know, I think we'll start the year, as long as Noah Kane is 100% or somewhere in that neighborhood, he is your best combination of upside and known commodity on that roster. So I think you'll see him open the year as the number one. I think you'll see him be really consistent, and you'll see him kind of keep doing what he does. Kevon Lee, 237 pounds. If you look at what James Franklin said about Kevon Lee over the weekend versus what he said about Noah Kane early in his career, it's almost exactly the same. Always falls forward. You know, you look up and without even realizing it, he's got 115 yards on the ground. He said the same stuff about Noah Kane. And I think that probably bodes well for Kevon Lee. If Devin Ford is really running hot and he's your hot hand, he'll do some good things for you. It's going to be hard for him, though, when you have your top two guys, I think, on the depth chart, where consistency and being known commodities and always being sure things for yardage, when that's their strengths, it's going to be hard for Devin Ford to disrupt that if he doesn't kind of shore up some of these consistency issues. John Lovett's a senior coming in. I would expect him to be consistent and tough and be a nice complementary force. And then Kaziah Holmes is the ultimate wild card to me, where he could surge, you know, near the top of this depth chart if all goes well for him. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So, I mean, I took a long walk for a short drink of water there, I guess. But I think using 2 years ago as an example, you know, you get what you earn. And sometimes that's happening behind the scenes at practice, and you get rewarded for that in games. Sometimes you're the hot hand in games. They've managed this situation well before. I would expect them to do it again.
It's interesting what you said about the comparison from the description James Franklin used for Noah Kane, and then now the description for Kevon Lee. You're right. It's an identical description. They're very similar players. And what will be interesting to see is, do you want another kind of back, a different style back, which Devin Ford certainly is. And then, as you pointed out, you have John Lovett coming in from Baylor, who I'm sure transfer as a grad transfer, he expects to get carries also. Going to be a really fascinating storyline. Another question on the offensive side, and I want to ask you, did we get the answer? Was we feel like Mike Miranda and Juice Scruggs will be two of the three interior guys. One would be the guard, one would be the center. Should we take from this scrimmage with Mike Miranda working with the first team at center that the decision's been made, Miranda's going to be the center?
Yeah, I think so. It would be hard for me to believe that they're gonna go another route at this point. The further we've gone, the more it seemed like Miranda was had the inside track to that job. I think, you know, optimally, the guy with the most experience and the guy who's been, you know, part of this group and understands the communication process better. I think it makes sense for him to be the guy. So I do think that was meaningful to see him at that center spot, to have Scruggs at one of the guard spots. I do anticipate that's what's going to happen. I think that's probably what should happen. Mike Miranda, I think, is going to be good for that job. And obviously there's been a bunch of cross training happening, so you're going to see some guard types getting reps at center. But it would be a surprise, I think, at this point, if in this summer and fall, if Miranda's not the guy there.
I think you're right. I believe we all anticipated that coming in. Miranda was the more experienced guy. And I'm quoting our colleague Ross Tucker, who talked about Juice Scruggs, his build. He seems to be designed to be a center. But it appears that they opted for the experienced guy. But perhaps Scruggs will follow the Miranda model. He'll start out as a guard, and eventually in another year or so, he's going to be the experienced guy. He's the one who would probably then shift to that position. It was interesting then to see how the rest of the offensive line filled out. We had Wigan working with the first team because a couple guys were sitting out. We also had what was interesting was Bryce Effner filling in at right tackle and getting reps there something with the first team. So he might be that first guy off the bench for a tackle position.
At the very least, it just shows that Bryce Effner continues to progress behind the scenes. Now, what it means in terms of how the depth chart takes shape, I don't really know that yet. With not everybody available and all that, it might be hard to draw firm conclusions. But I think to me, this was just a reminder, like, don't forget about Bryce Effner. You know, he's an easy guy to forget about because he was a low three-star. He was one of the lowest-ranked players, if not the lowest-ranked player in his recruiting class, and was a guy that you're kind of scratching your head about why Penn State wanted him in the first place. But he moves well, and he made that commitment to get up. You know, I think he arrived in around the 265-pound range, made a commitment, had to work really hard to get north of 300 pounds. And now it sounds like, you know, this everything seems to be coming together. The pieces are coming together where he can play a valuable role, even if it's just as a reserve, that you feel good about him if you do need to lean on him. So I think this was just a reminder to me. We'll see what it means in the grand scheme of things. But, like, you know, Bryce Effner's still here, and the coaching staff likes him, and it looks like he can get the job done.
What I find fascinating in our conversation about the offense is we didn't talk about the wide receivers, and there's really no need to. You know, or tight end. We know, I feel like we know what we have there. And as our final point, Dustin, I just want to go back to the running back position. And I'm not sure that if we didn't shortchange one of the running backs here, when you have a 2-touchdown game from Tank Smith, and I'm just looking, he's listed at 5'7", 227 pounds. Might we have 6 potential running backs in that room as opposed to 5 capable ones?
I mean, we'll see how it happens. The only thing I'll say about that is that when I submitted my Heisman ballot with Sean Clifford number 1, Tank Smith was number 2 on that ballot. So we'll see if I'm right.
Understandable for all of us 5'7" guys. We are rooting for Tank Smith, okay? I'm not quite 227, by the way, but the 5'7", that does fit. So I'll be rooting for him, Dustin. All right, stick around in quarter number 4. We're going to talk about the defense. There's plenty of conversation to be had there, so you want to make sure you stay tuned for that.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.